On behalf of the extended Hobbs family, I want to thank you all for coming tonight to this special celebration of Aunt Carolyn's 90th birthday. Recently, I was reading through Luke chapter 2 and was reminded of Anna the prophetess. When she met the Christ child, she was 84 years of age. And I'm reading from Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth.
This was a testimony of Anna when she saw the Christ child. And she bore testimony of him to everybody she came into contact. And I thought about growing up in this ministry and having a part of the children of Grace Bible Church. At that time, it was Grace Fellowship Church. And Aunt Carolyn oftentimes would have us in groups. I remember during the baseball season, she'd get the baseball teams to come to the auditorium and she'd tell us Bible stories. And Aunt Carolyn was such a blessing growing up and had a tremendous impact in my life and reminds me in many ways of Anna, someone who was always at church and always talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Aunt Carolyn. I cannot remember a day that Aunt Carolyn was not at church. Now, I'm sure there were times that she was not. I'm sure there were times she wished she weren't at church at that particular time. But she's always been faithful. Always faithful. And I have taken that to heart in my own personal life. And I just want to say thank you to Aunt Carolyn. And I'm going to read a letter at the very end that I wrote to Aunt Carolyn. But I'm going to ask Dr. Bill Hall to come at this time. He's got a few memories. Whenever Aunt Carolyn was very young, is that right? He's going to come share a few thoughts, and then we're going to open the floor to anybody who would like to come and share a few thoughts about the impact that Aunt Carolyn's had upon your life.
You can't tell me what to do, huh? Well, we love the Hobbs. We love Aunt Carolyn. When I was in kindergarten, she was my first teacher. Well, not really. But I don't know when we first met, if it was in 61 or if I'd met her sometime before that. But she's always been such a kind and a good supporter of her husband. And she's just a nice lady to be around. She had to be that way because she was married to Dayton Hobbs. And Dayton Hobbs was known as the bulldog among fundamentalists. And sometimes it's hard to live with a bulldog. But not that she's ever said that. But I know personalities. And she was always had a calming effect on me, right? I'm talking. And she's a good hostess. She was a good wife. And now she's a widow. And God has let her live this long so that all the rest of us can be challenged by her. I know she loved by her children, and they've been a blessing to her, and still are, and she's a blessing to them. I wish I could say that I had the same kind of home that they had, but I didn't, and I just am so grateful for those who do. And Carolyn, we love you. Better than that, the Lord loves you. Say hallelujah, huh? And I hope some of you can share more intimate things than I have, because you sat in a class or under her ministry day by day, And just come up and express your heart. Some of you timid folks, come on up here. Let some of the children come give a testimony. That's all right, because we love you. And we're glad we could all, we're all glad that we could be here. God bless you.
All right, who would like to come first and share a thought or two? Mr. Woods is on his way.
Good things don't happen in a hurry.
Did you want me to call somebody else while you're trying to get up here?
That was a good tea.
I will be very brief. Asking the Lord, what could I say that will pay the tribute that I want to pay to this dear friend? I come first because I think I'm about the closest behind her in age. I keep trying to catch her, but she keeps moving out, you know. So, but it's this. You may remember the verse that Dr. Hobbs used an awful lot in teaching, "I will guide thee with mine eye." He would say that you children are not disciplined unless you are able to guide them with your eye. He would recall how that his mother just would have to look at him, and that would take care of whatever he was doing that wasn't quite right. And I kind of thought about that as a gyroscope, what a gyroscope does for keeping an airplane steady in the air. And this lady's eye, as I remember first coming to teach with them, the look in her eye told me what I needed to be thinking on many occasions. And not only was it steady at times like that where you were trying to figure out how shall I respond to such and such a thing, or how are we going to do this or that, you know? Aunt Carolyn's eye always gave me, the right, this is how you should think. This is how you should look at this situation. And through the stormy times in the ministry that we had, she was like that gyroscope attached to her husband and the will of God for this ministry. And it was her spirit that would take us through those times, and then all of the wonderful times that we've had over the years, and all of the progress that God has accomplished in this place due to what he did through these servants that he called into this years ago. I have no higher privilege than to work beside her for these many years. And Carolyn, thank you. Thank the Lord for you. Thank you, Bill, for being here.
I'm Donna Adams, and I have a lot of really good memories from my time here at Santa Rosa Christian School and Gospel Projects. For one thing, my husband, Millard Adams, he proposed to me with an engagement ring right at the parking lot one evening up there at Santa Rosa Christian School. We were married on February 20, 1968 in the church sanctuary there at the school. And I have memories of working here at Santa Rosa Christian School. And that was back a long, long time ago. Millard and I, we met at Bob Jones University. And on January the 19th, 1968, I finished my studies at Bob Jones. And so the next day was Saturday. Millard drove up and picked me up, and I came back to Milton to make Milton my home. And then Sunday we went to church at Grace Bible Church. And on Monday morning I went to work at Santa Rosa Christian School. Well, my major in Bob Jones was office administration with a minor in English. So I went to work in the office, and I felt very comfortable there. And I enjoyed the staff and the teachers. Everybody made me feel very welcome. But you know, in reality, I just did whatever was really needed. So some of the things I did, I worked in the concession stand. I was a librarian. I was a softball coach for the girls' softball team. My kids get a kick out of that, but anyway. And I also was a teacher. Well, One year, the third grade teacher did not come back after Christmas, so I was the teacher from January to the end of the school year. Well, the next year, the same thing happened with the fourth grade teacher. She did not come back, so I was the fourth grade teacher from January to the end of the school year. Well, on the very first day that I was in the classroom, now I was a substitute teacher or if it was that first time in the third grade class, but it was a sudden thing for me. And just all of a sudden, you know, I was going to be in the classroom. Thank goodness for lesson plans, because it maps out the whole day what you're going to have. But when I looked at the lesson plan, I was there before the kids came and before the bell went off. At the very top, it has a devotion. So I had to come up with a devotion, and I just felt so overwhelmed already. And then I said, well, what am I going to do for a devotion? Well, in the office, a day or two before that, Aunt Carolyn had me type one of her Bible stories, and it was Frederick the Great. And that's a great story. It has a good salvation message to it and everything. So I said, aha, that's what I'll do for my devotion. I'll tell the story. I knew it because I just typed it, and I will tell the story of Frederick the Great. So I wrote my name on the board, the children came and everything, and so we did the devotion. So here I was, partway into Frederick the Great, and at the back of the room, the door opens very, very quietly, and in comes Aunt Carolyn. She sits in the back. The kids never knew she was even there. And I thought, oh no, I am in trouble. I haven't even asked her if I could use this story. But anyway, what was I to do? So I just continued with the story. And towards the end, Aunt Carolyn leaves the room just as quietly as she had come in. And I still was thinking, I'm in trouble. You know, I just was really concerned about it. But, you know, as I thought about it, I thought, you know what? Mrs. Hobbs came in because she wanted to make sure I was okay. She wanted to make sure I could do this. And so I turned it around, and instead of feeling like I was going to be in trouble, I said, well, I'm glad she came in because she was concerned. You know, she wanted to make sure I was going to be okay. And I appreciated that. And so just about 3 years ago, I came on campus and I went to the Children's Bible Club and bookstore. And Carolyn was the only one there, and we had a really, really good visit. And during that visit, I reminded her of the very first day I was in the classroom and how I had used her story for the devotion that day. And so we had a little laugh about it, and Carolyn just said, well, you were innovative in coming up with your devotion for that day. And so, I don't know, that was my story on Carolyn. But today I just want to wish you a very happy birthday, and I just pray that the Lord will give you quality days for the rest of your life. And I've always admired you. I mean, you're smart, you love people, especially children, you love the Lord, and I just pray for you and pray that the Lord will bless you. So thanks. Okay.
Most women have 9 months to get ready to become a mother. My mama had about 3 days. She got a call in August, the year 1962, whenever the Center as a Christian School was going to be started. And the man who ran the children's home my brother and I were living at said he had a couple of children. Now, I wasn't part of that conversation, but this is what I was told. And he said, I have a couple of children who really need a home. Are you interested? And supposedly, Dad turned around to Mama and said, do you want a couple of kids? Well, they did. And they packed their bags and came up to Salem, Illinois, to Salem Children's Home. And I met my mother for the first time. I was 9 years old. David was just about six. And I was in the music room at the children's home. My chore was ironing handkerchiefs. really good at it. And so Mr. Zimmerman brought my parents to be into the room, and there was a piano there, and Mama sat down and was playing the piano. And I was watching her hands and looking at her, no idea she was going to become my mother. And I had never in my life seen somebody with so many freckles. And I said, how did you get all those freckles? And she says, well, I wish I had a penny for each one of them. I would be rich. Well, that was my first introduction to my mama. A couple of days later, Mr. Zimmerman came and said, would you like to go on a trip to Florida? And I said, can I wear a bikini? He said, well, I don't know about that. But we got in the car, and the next thing we know, I had a family. David had a family. And oh, there's no way to say the blessings that God bestowed upon me and David at that time. There's no better mother to be had. There's no more preparation. We just made a family, and I'm so thankful to God for that gift. He was so gracious. To God be the glory.
Can't be outdone by my sister. But unlike many of you, I was handpicked. My mom and dad picked me. Okay? And I'm thankful for that. As I think back over my childhood, if they had not adopted me, I would either be in jail or dead by now. They loved us. They loved me from the get-go. When I saw them at the children's home, I was playing in the sandbox. And I didn't know what was them. I didn't know what they were doing. Being there, they were standing there watching, since, I guess, to see if they really wanted me or not. But I was adopted, and I grew up in a Christian home. I was able to attend this school, and the many blessings from Dad and Mom. Growing up, you know, they train up a child in the way that you should go. They trained me that way. I received many spankings. I never did understand, though, right before they were fixing to beat me to death, this is going to hurt me more than it did you. I never have come to understand that. Wait a minute, I'm on the receiving end here. But truly, my mother is the mother of Proverbs chapter 31. She meets all those qualifications. And if you want to know my mom, just read that and you'll know her. Thank you.
Who would like to be next? Anyone at all?
Hello, everybody. I'm Charlie Smith, and I believe in the five B's of public speaking. Be brief, brother, be brief. With that said, Doris and David, you've got a wonderful mother, and she has been a mother to me over these years. Allison and Joyce, send their respects and happy birthday. Like that now. Many, many stories, lots of love, and honor. You give honor where honor is due, and thank you for coming and honoring Miss Hobbs on her birthday. Happy birthday, and many, many more.
I'm Ken Erickson. I don't talk too well in front of groups, so I'll make it as brief as I can. I owe Aunt Carolyn an apology, and I'm going to apologize now. What most of you don't understand about Aunt Carolyn's stories is how accurate her character and their jobs are. Now, we have 265 stories, 5 years worth plus. We have 5 years of radio Bible stories plus Easter and Christmas. That comes out somewhere about 270 stories that are accurate, character and jobs. Aunt Carolyn came to me one day and said, I need the name of the individual that drops down from a helicopter to rescue people. And I searched, and I could not find that name. Last week, I was standing out listening to some pilots talking, and for Chopper Champs, if we ever correct it, it is the swimmer that drops down. I apologize for taking this long because you were creating that story and I have not been able to find it. But stop and think just for a moment. In Aunt Carolyn's spare time, she is putting together these stories. And how many times a day, now I'm not going to speak for myself because my English is terrible, but how many times in a day do we improperly use the name in a position, a character, a job? But you can look at every one of Aunt Carolyn's stories and they're without error. And they've been a blessing to my heart, my children's heart, and we love you. Thank you.
My wife and I are coming off of 30 years in Christian education. If you don't think my 30 years of Christian education didn't have something to do with Dayton Carolyn Hobbs, you're confused. Let's sit down and talk about it. What a heritage from the ministry that they established, God established here through them, their faithfulness and the impact on my family. I'm of words. We have been, my wife and I, outside of here at Christian school conventions and watched the teachers flock into Aunt Carolyn's workshops. We've been there with friends like Ed Earwood and others rushing around, I gotta find a bigger room for Aunt Carolyn's workshop because there's so many people coming to hear her present her workshops. These people you've never, professionals you've never seen or met, okay? When the workshops were done and you're at a teacher's convention and then there's the gymnasium usually or it's at a convention center without a gymnasium but a big room and the different book publishers and so forth have their places for their literature and Dayton and Carolyn would have their place set up, we could slip behind the barrier and sit there with Dayton and Carolyn and people would come by and think we knew celebrities. And Dayton and I have long conversations because no one wanted to talk to him, but everybody was talking to Carolyn. So you couldn't get a word in edgewise with everyone trying to get that Carolyn. No, not so, that's not exactly right. But yes, they were sought after in their advice and their wisdom. We've seen it in other places. Maybe some of you have, maybe some of you haven't. You've only seen it here. I remember looking at those same fingers. My father handed me an instrument and said, you have one note to play at a time, Eric, and you're going to sit up there with Todd and Roger right beside Aunt Carolyn. And her fingers are all over that keyboard. And I'm like struggling with where I place one note at the right time, the right place. And those fingers, it was humbling for years. And she could pick any key for any hymn and just, we're struggling. Is it three sharps or two sharps? Okay, so those are early memories. If you're in education, if you're in ministry, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you know what's humbling? Is you really believe in the next generation. Your generation might have your act together or it might not. Your generation might really mess things up, but God's not done. God's working with your generation, our generation. God's also got plans for the next. Growing up here, seeing Dr. Hobbs, seeing Aunt Carolyn, seeing Bill, Charlie, David, those teenagers who could do anything with a Honda 70 or a catfish and a fillet knife or a John boat and an outboard engine or... Okay, but then getting older and then going to high school here, and do you go to college, do you not, all that. Then working as a school teacher and measuring everything, looking back, sermons by Dr. Hobbs, going to workshops by him, presented to other professionals. This is a memory I have, and this is a centering of God in the next generation. Hearing a message by Dave Hobbs, then when it was done, who'd they bring up four times a year after the sermon? Aunt Carolyn to tell a children's story. Okay? To me, where that centered me is the faith of a little child. It's all God asks of adults. It's all God asks of children. And it's that simple. And this verse that I want to share real quick here, the Children's Bible Club, what's that about? The one message that frees every generation, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of heaven." I heard that message here. Aunt Carolyn shared that over and over and over. My parents got to explain that to me.
Happy birthday, Aunt Carolyn.
From your crazy neighbor. I think I remember the first time I met Aunt Carolyn. I had been flown down here for an interview. I don't know what I was getting into, Chris, but somehow I'm still here. And it took me to Gators. So that's where it all starts, Bill. I mean, there's no higher recruitment for teachers than let's get them to Gators. I never had mullet, but I did the first time I had it. And I remember y'all taking me there. And then next day, singing in church, and you playing the piano for me. And I just remember thinking, man, well, Aunt Carolyn, my throat's a little tired. Okay, what can you do? Because she's done that a lot for me over the years, and I really appreciate it. A lot of fond memories of practicing with Aunt Carolyn, and we can go on and on, but I appreciate it. I just want to talk a couple things. First, as her assistant pastor, it's been an incredible thing to be a pastor of someone like Aunt Carolyn. He always comes up to you after the service and encourages you. And a pastor was talking about that at Brother Paul's funeral memorial service. Brother Paul was the same way. He'd always come up and say something to me that encouraged me. Aunt Carolyn always says, maybe tap me on the arm. Good job. I appreciate that. And that means a lot. And as Pastor said, that means she's listening, which is more than what 90% do. As soon as I start talking, I get an afternoon nap in. And I understand I'm kind of boring. That's all right. I have to talk fast to keep them awake, brother. But it's been a joy to serve in the church with Aunt Carolyn. And hear her playing the piano, all those things, it's a tremendous blessing. But then, just as a neighbor and a friend, I bought some property from Aunt Carolyn and built a house there, and she's regretted it ever since. I can't keep my yard mowed. Thank you, Charlie. I think you buzzed it the other day. You mowed my lawn or something, or I think when you were over there. I don't know. Somebody mowed my lawn.
I've never been able to figure out where
you found me. You just keep going. Just open the back fence and just keep going. I'm not going to stop. I can't keep my yard clean or my fence clean and stuff, but it's been fun to be Aunt Carolyn's neighbor. I remember the days when Jesse and Isaac would go visit, and they didn't go in the door. They went in the little doggy door, and I think Aunt Carolyn laughed and enjoyed that a little more than they did. And Jesse would probably still try to get in there as a 10-year-old boy to get his little Snickers bar or something. Aunt Carolyn would say, "We need to run this over to Aunt Carolyn." They'd always come home with candy coming out of both edges, which is fine, you know. But they loved going over there, and being her neighbor and just being a friend has been a blessing. I speak for my wife on this. My wife's not going to come up and speak, but I know that it's been a tremendous blessing for her to be with you in the Children's Bible Club. And she's learned a lot by watching you and enjoyed being with you. We both love you, and she's enjoyed that time very much. And then, just real quick, this is kind of, not that I'm trying to be gloom and doom, but about a month ago, we were, I don't know, it must have been 10 or 10:30 at night, and there's an ambulance in our driveway looking for Aunt Carolyn's house. And I guess I never really thought of it, but I about went into a sheer panic. Not a panic, but I thought, what if something happened to Aunt Carolyn? And it really kind of hit home. Even the neighbors were running over trying to find out. And she had hit the wrong button on her life alert thing and scared the whole neighborhood half to death at 10:30 at night with the ambulance coming up and trying to get under the limb, you know, sideways. And we navigated that, and Aunt Carolyn's okay, I'm all right. And I was like, phew. But that made me think, you know, we love you. And we don't want that day to come, but we know when it does for all of us, we're going to be in heaven together. But it just kind of drove that home to me. We enjoyed living beside you. We hope you have a happy birthday. Another 90 years, you're probably like, oh, no. But thank you, Aunt Carolyn. We love you. Happy birthday.
I want to share a letter to Aunt Carolyn that I wrote. And the reason I wrote it out is because I was afraid I wasn't able to get through it. But I wrote it some time ago, and I want to show you. I updated it so I'd have it with the right dates on it for you, Aunt Carolyn. But, dear Aunt Carolyn, happy birthday seems hardly enough to say on this special occasion. So I'm going to add a few extra words. You are an incredibly special lady. You have lived to see 9 decades of life and have witnessed incredible events in history. It's a good thing that you have never took the act your age advice, because you are without a doubt the most youthful 90-year-old I've ever met. Not only that, but you have also impacted the lives of countless people around the world for Christ through your writing, teaching, radio, social media ministries. Most people your age retired years ago, but you have continued to be involved in ministry to this day. That is remarkable. It's a remarkable accomplishment and should never be forgotten. Aunt Carolyn, your steady, humble, and continuous Christian testimony has been a tremendous blessing to our local church. Many people have come and gone through the years, but you have remained a stalwart and faithful servant of God and witness to all the families of Grace Bible Church. Your ability to capture the hearts of children and adults alike through your teaching ministry is a gift from God. A few weeks ago, I was contacted by Tabernacle Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina, asking about the next set of Aunt Carolyn's stories. Mr. Schmitz had been delayed in mailing out the next 60 days of broadcast, and they were in a panic. Our folks who listen on Saturday will be very disappointed if we don't have the next set of new broadcasts from Aunt Carolyn. Needless to say, we assured them that the broadcasts were on their way and a crisis was averted. Your ministry is needed, but it's also greatly appreciated by many others. Thank you for submitting yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ many years ago and following in His pathway through those many years. Your impact in my life and in the lives of our family is indescribable. Enjoy this special day, a wonderful gift of God, and know that we love you and pray for you daily. One of your children, Bible Club kids, Todd Brainerd. Children's Bible Club choir member, 1975 through 1978. I was talking the other day with about Bill and I being in the Children's Bible Club. Some of us didn't get graduated with the rest of the kids that moved on to the grades. We had to get called back from time to time to sing in the Children's Bible Club choir. But folks, this lady has had an international ministry. There's not a place I go without someone asking, "How's Aunt Carolyn doing?" From my trip to the Philippines, to India, to Haiti, "How's Aunt Carolyn doing?" Because she's had that kind of an impact in the hearts and lives of boys and girls and children all around the world. And so we thank the Lord for her. And I want you to join me in singing Happy Birthday to Aunt Carolyn. Would you do that? Would you all stand, please? You don't have to stand, Aunt Carolyn. Would you all stand and join me, please?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Say you never thought you'd see the day when you'd see Aunt Carolyn speechless, but you've met. this is just wonderful. I can't thank you enough, because that all of this needs time and money and effort and love and heart, and I thank you more than I can say. I'm so thankful for those who've come from a long distance, children and grandchildren that have come clear across the country, and others that have come all over the South. Many of you that are from distances, and I know you've gone out of your way to drop the afternoon to come. And I just thank you more than I can say. And I also want to appreciate you for your tact. Christians do have tact, you know, sometimes. Not always. But you did have the courtesy to say happy 90th birthday. I met a lady going into the store the other day, and she was shocked to see me. I could tell it on her face. She said, "Aunt Carolyn, you must be older than dirt." Well, I say, you got that that right? But anyway, it's so wonderful to see family and friends and co-laborers, co-workers, and this is a wonderful reunion. It's more than a happy birthday. It's just a wonderful place. So thank you for those that have come from a long distance. I was shocked to see Mrs. Smith over there this morning. That was a great surprise. And it's just so good. Thank you for Dr. Hall and Charlie coming. I know that meant a lot to me. Their ministry always meant a lot to us when they'd come for revival meetings. And I tell you another one, we wish Dayton Hobbs was here. He would tell you about it, wouldn't he? And so would Gator. When they'd be at Gator's inside, they'd come out. I remember one time they came back out to the car to go, and on their tail was of the car was a sign, "Eat more possum." You know, that's Gator. But he loved Bill and Shirley, that we all did. And the early years, there's history here still alive. Of course, mentioned Miss Denham and Miss Smith. They were our first two teachers, and they had a lot of grit to step out of public school and a sure salary to come to a Christian school that nobody knew what was going to come. We're just going by the grace of God. And so they came with help. They were a good key to setting up the first curriculum. And then came Mr. Woods, second year. What a blessing that was. He may not think so, but it was us. And he started out teaching classroom as his course of master's teacher, still is. But then he put music on the map, and he's the one that took the Children's Bible Club choir and put it together, and over a period of time put it on the map, so that people that heard it on the radio even would say, if you're going to have a children's choir, do it like Mr. Woods and Santa Rosa Christian School, the Children's Bible Club. So that's kind of a testimony he had. But not only is in the music in there, he's in the character building business too with our young people. And that's been an immeasurable blessing. Then Mrs. Schmidt, I don't know where she is, but she's someplace. What a blessing. Now, I don't mean this bad, but she's a jack of all trades, fellas. If you got a job needs doing, just stand back, she'll get her done. And she does it willingly and wants to do it, and is a wonderful testimony, been a wonderful partner in the ministry. And of course, the informal students here, many of you have stood for the Lord through the years and been a testimony. And that's what Christian school is all about. Not going to school one day at a time and paying tuition and that. It's the scriptural character from God, how good God has been to us. And I think about the ones that have already come through school and those that are in now. And then these wee people that have been around, you know, like Dagwood and his wee people. And so many in the church now, and it's such a wonderful blessing. And I thank the Lord for the young couples that are taking over to take care of their children and to give them the right kind of training that they need. Well, I need to say a whole lot, but then I wouldn't live up to the speechless part, would I? So thank you so much. You don't know how much you all mean to me. And the main thing for all of us is to remember to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's really, when the count's down, he's all that really matters. We want to exalt him, thank him. Without him, none of it would even be important. So we're so thankful for him. And we have to be true to him at all costs. You know, when you're growing up, you read Bible verses and sometimes they mean something, sometimes you don't know what they mean. One of those coming up was Psalm 2, verse 12. It always bothered me. I'd read it kind of overheardly because it seemed like so deep and so important and so sacred, but I didn't know what to do with it. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. That was a frightful verse to me. Still is. And I still am growing in the meaning of it. But You know, a kiss is a wonderful thing. These days, it doesn't mean anything to anybody. They just throw them around like somebody I just met. But a kiss is a personal, private, very important thing. And you don't just throw them around. Kiss the sun means more than a physical kiss. It's honor. Lift up. Somebody you trust and depend on and be loyal to at all cost. And I think that Dr. Hobbs was that. He was fiercely loyal to anything that he knew was right, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God, and he'd fight for it. Some people didn't like him for it, but it was what was important. And that's what I think we all, by the grace of God, want to do. Kiss the Son. Make him the one, the center of our life and our work and our ministry. And whether we live short or long, honor him, and he'll take care of the rest. I want to thank the Lord for the children who sang this morning for the Tell Me the Old, Old Story. That's a precious hymn, because if you read all the verses, you can get blessed, because the story is there. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and his love. And that's another thing we need to be telling, the old, old story, wherever we go. We get so busy and wrapped up, self-conscious, we don't do it. At least I don't sometimes. So we need to get a new challenge in our hearts by God's grace. Tell the old, old story so more and more children can know of him and his love. Thank you all so much. I can't tell it. I just love you. Thank you.
Done. We have some dessert, but I want us to sing together one of Aunt Carolyn's favorite hymns, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. We'll sing the first and the last stanzas. If you don't know the words, then just do the best you can. Here we go.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight on this very special occasion. We thank you that she trusted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior as a young child and has been used of thee to reach children all around the world. We thank you, dear Father, for the memory of Dr. Hobbs and the two of them being involved in ministries, starting Santa Rosa Christian School, the Children's Bible Club, and all the other ministries that have grown from their vision from many years ago. And we thank you, dear Father, that many of us are here tonight because we heard the gospel preached at the Gospel Tabernacle Grace Bible Church years ago. And we pray that you continue to work in hearts and lives and draw people unto Christ through the ministry that has been raised up. Father, bless us as we conclude this time together and as we enjoy our dessert. I pray, Father, that we might be thankful for what you do in hearts and lives, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We've got some cupcakes over here and some desserts from Olive Garden that are over on this far table, so help yourself to those. Please be sure to say goodbye to Aunt Carolyn and wish her a happy birthday before you go tonight. And thank you for coming. God bless you.